July 13th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to go over Psalm 67. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. As you know, every expression in the Bible has a deeper meaning. Some verses talk about the Lord's hands, and some about his feet, and this is about his face. They all mean different things, and here it says that his face shines upon us. Unfortunately, I have never seen his face, but if I could, I suppose it is so bright and shining. The Bible also talks about God hiding his face. We are blessed when his face is facing us, but we are troubled when he turns his face away from us. God hiding his face is not like some beautiful women covering their faces to conceal their beauty. When God hides his face, it is more troublesome than that. We do not know what he's looking at or whether he's angry at us or laughing at us. For example, when I'm crossing a street and when a car is coming, if the front glass of the car is tinted and I cannot see the driver inside, I get scared. I don't know if he sees me coming or if he is too distracted with his phone or something and not looking at me. But if I see the driver's face and I see that he is also looking at me, I feel safe. So if God hides his face, we can't tell how he's feeling. And I also think that in this era, God is hiding his face from the church. Some people are saying that God is love and God is smiling at us all the time, tolerating any sins, but that is not what I think. I feel that God may be building up his wrath against people. So when I hear some people saying that God is smiling all the time for anything, I wonder if God is really hiding his face and then that's why they're not really seeing his true face. The book of Romans also talks about the accumulating wrath of God. That is what is happening to many Christians. They are not seeing the truth, and that's why they are derailed from the truth. And if you see his face, and even angry face, it is better that you see him than not seeing him at all. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. It says that his way may be known on earth. In other words, it is not something obvious and someone can easily find it. Jesus clearly said that the path to life is narrow and only few will find it. And if the path is so wide and that it's impossible to miss it, finding the way is not a blessing at all, but since it is a narrow path and is difficult to find, if you can find it, it is such a blessing. And since it is a narrow path, many people misunderstand the path, which is his way. The one example is in Mark 4:26. Here God himself talks about the path. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Do you understand what that means? This is not a farming lesson. While we sleep, let's say it is wheat. Wheat grows overnight, first sprout, then the blade, then the head, and the head is filled with the grain. Then comes the harvest time, with the sickle. A farmer works throughout the year not to get the root or the blade, but to get the grain, the fruit, and that is what God is after. Of course, the root or the blade are part of the wheat, part of Christian community, but what God is after is the grain, the fruit. When the grain is ripened, immediately he harvests with the sickle, and that is the Christ's second coming. If you see the Revelation 14:14, it says the same thing. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. All Christians eat the same bread, made of wheat, which is the word of God. But when the harvest time comes, God is only after the grain, not the root. So the root will not be harvested and left behind. In other words, you will not be lifted up with Christ, since the root has no worth in the market. No one is going to buy the root. So we need to bear fruit in order to be harvested and be taken up with Him. Farmers only want the grains, and after the harvest, He will burn the field to clear the field. And there is also a story of wheat and tare, and the wheat is gathered into a barn, and tare is gathered to be burned. It may be also about the fire of hell. And Jesus is very selective, and He doesn't want the leaves or the roots. He doesn't want to take everyone. You know the story of wise virgin and foolish virgins. That's how He selects people. You know the story of a man who finds a treasure in the field and he spends all the money he has to buy the field. This has the same meaning as the story of wheat, the seed. This man buys the whole field, but he doesn't need the whole field. He only wants treasure buried in the field. So of course, all the Christians have the right to be redeemed, the right for the atonement. But if you do not become the treasure or the grain along the way, God will not take you. That's why God's way is difficult to understand. So if you happen to find it, you are blessed. Going back to the psalm, Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Here, judging the people righteously means that He brings blessing to the righteous people, and He brings evil to the evil people. That is what it means by judging righteously. This is the same in this world, and so will be in the kingdom. So all the Christians, whatever the affliction of the affiliation of the church is, will be judged by God. A good example is the United Church of Christ in Japan, which denied Christ during the World War II. So whatever happened to them afterwards was not good at all. Now they don't even believe in the resurrection, and they don't believe in the second coming, and they don't have any blessing in the church. They were judged by their deed, I think. Verse 5, Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the end of the earth shall fear Him. We should remember that God is to fear. And that is the right attitude as a Christian. But if we take God lightly or make fun of Him, which is exactly what Satan does, this person is on the path for destruction. But the fear of God, if we fear God, we are blessed. Paul often talks about the fear of God too. And I too feel the same way, and the fear gets stronger as I read the Bible more and more over the years. For example, the story of Melchizedek and Levi from the book of Hebrews, which we just read last week. You learn about the fear of the Lord when you read the Old Testament and read the commandments and laws by Aaron and Levi. You see how important those things are, never to be violated. They are repeatedly emphasized throughout the Old Testament, and how to offer a bird sacrifice or cow sacrifice with all the details. They were their golden rules. But now we know that all these laws were all temporary. Well, if you were a Jew, it must be hard to accept that all those laws are just passing things. But God was quietly saying so. So So all the legalistic people in Jesus' time were all judged for not believing in God. They said that they keep the law, but they killed the Son of God. And when you read the book of Hebrews, it says that Melchizedek's priesthood is higher than the ones of Levi. And as people say that what happens once, it will happen again. So that's why I think this kind of table-turning scenario will happen in the end time. Those who are self-righteous will be judged, just like Jesus' time. And I know many Christians don't believe in that, but that's why we try to teach them by holding seminars and teach them about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. As you know, there is no more temple in Jerusalem now, but since it is written in the Revelation, I believe this indicates the Church of Christ, which is equivalent of the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the church will be destroyed, and there will not be not even one stone that is not turned. And even the cornerstone, which is Christ, will become a stumbling block for all who claim to be a Christian. And I teach that at a seminar, but people don't listen to it nor try to understand that. But we learn from the Bible that God always turned the table in the end, and I believe that is exactly what He's going to do in the end time. So please, not to forget the fear of the Lord and keep warning people as much as we could.